Hello, everybody. Welcome to Knock on Wood, and this is Steve Charney. Got a lot of great comedy for you today. Bill Gord, Joe Hayes, a guy named Bob Livingston. Harry's going to be in very shortly. He's going to be singing a song, too, as our half hour goes on. And, well, I hope you laugh a whole lot. What are we going to start off? Why don't we get right on with it, shall we? Let's listen to Homer and Jethro now. This is from, this is a wanted for murder for destroying all kinds of songs. This one is called No Hair Sam.
Who is a cat with a head like a Mr. Clean? He ain't got a hair growing there, that's what I mean. Who's got the finest head of skin, what hair? Bald-headed, pot-bellied, dim-witted, no hair sand. He never wears a wig upon his head to cover up that spot. Cause you wouldn't buy a top for a convertible when the motor's shot. Who has to carry his dandruff around in his hand? Ball-headed, pot-bellied, dim-witted, no hair sand. Sammy says the grass will never grow up on a busy street. I reckon that the reason is it can't get through the concrete. Who's got the squarest, barest head, what hand? Ball-headed, pot-bellied, dim-witted, no hair sand.
I like it.
Nice song, isn't it?
Homer and Jethro. Well, this is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. I'm sitting here with Harry now. Right, Steve? I came in.
So what do you want to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. I don't really have anything to say.
Come on, Steve. Come on. There are people listening. Say something. Say something.
All right. Did I ever tell you when I was buck hunting out west?
No. I don't think you ever told me about that.
Yeah, sure. I used to be one of the toughest, meanest, fastest, gag-in-the-throat buck hunters in the country.
Really?
Yeah. I remember once I saw a buck standing right by a cliff over a mile away. Well, I knew if I shot it, I'd lose it over that cliff. But I pulled the trigger anyway, and as soon as I did, took off towards that buck. I ran so fast, I got there ahead of the bullet. Then I had to duck my head to let the bullet go by.
Did you kill the buck?
Oh, yeah, but not from the bullet. When that animal saw me standing there right next to him, he was scared to death. It died without waiting for the bullet to reach him. Then I snatched him from falling off that cliff.
Big deal.
What do you mean, big deal?
When I was out west,
yeah,
I saw a shoot of corn coming out of the earth. And when it got as high as my shoulder, I started climbing it just for fun. Before I could yell, whoa, boy, whoa! That corn stalk was higher than the barn, and it just kept growing. People had to shoot biscuits up to me to keep me from starving. Well, pretty soon the corn stalk got beyond rifle range, and they had to drop food to me by airplane. Then they tried to cut the corn stalk down with an axe, but 10 loggers couldn't dent it. It grew all through the winter, and it lasted until the big blizzard the following year. And if you don't believe me, we'll go out west, and I'll show you the place where it grew.
Well, what happened to you?
I was never seen again.
Mm-hmm. You know where the hottest place in the country is?
Nope.
Southern Texas. I lived there for quite a few years. I got used to it. Once you live down there, nothing else can ever be warm enough. I remember going up to Michigan for work. It was the beginning of spring, but there was still a touch of snow in the air, and I just couldn't stand it, having lived in southern Texas the way I did. Fell to the sidewalk and stiffened out. They tried to revive me, but it was no use. They thought I was dead. So they decided to cremate me and send my ashes back to Texas. They put my rigid body into an oven and stoked up the fire. 2 hours later, They opened the door of the furnace, and there I was, sitting bolt upright. For Pete's sake, I yelled, close that door, I'll catch the death of a cold in a draft like that.
Well, maybe hot in Texas, but at least it ain't foggy. In California, where I live, the fogs are so thick that ships often sail right across the country until they hit the Sierra Nevada Dead Mountains. Why, it's so foggy that once I shingled my house 10 feet beyond the roof line, nailed the shingles right onto the fog. And it gets so cold at night, your shadow freezes on the wall. You have to use a blowtorch to thaw it out.
Yeah, well, at least it ain't Kansas. In Kansas, the tornadoes pick up telephone poles, set them down in the same order 2 states away. Telephone operators with them. I remember a Kansas tornado picked up a whole town and dropped it in Nebraska, including the railroad tracks.
We're two tall tale tellers from Texas. We're here to tell some tall tales to you. Just two birds of a feather, we are traveling together, telling tasty tall tales that are totally true.
Did I ever tell you about my Uncle Canute and his walking catfish?
Walking catfish? No.
Yeah, well, he caught himself a little baby catfish and took it home with him in a pail of water. He drilled a little hole in the bottom of that pail, and every night he'd pull the plug on that pail and let a little water out. Night by night, that water'd go down, 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 until all the water was gone completely. That catfish was all right. In fact, one day it jumped right out of that pail and started following Uncle Canute everywhere he went. It followed him to the store. It followed him to school. Then one day, a terrible thing happened.
What was that?
They were walking across a bridge, and that little catfish fell through a crack into the river and drowned.
We're two tall tale tellers from Texas. We're here to tell some tall tales to you. Just two birds of a feather, we are traveling together, telling tasty tall tales that are totally true.
Hey, say, Bill, did I ever tell you the story about my brother Eric and his popcorn farm?
No, tell me about it.
Well, it seems my brother wanted to make a lot of money growing popcorn for the supermarket.
Yeah?
So we planted a huge field of it, and it grew very, very well.
Great!
They went out, they harvested, they put it in the barn, and they were all set to ship it out.
Yeah?
Well, a heat wave came along.
Heat wave?
It got very hot inside that barn. It got so hot it was like an oven. And you know what happened to that popcorn?
No.
It expanded. It popped. It
yeah?
just puffed up. It popped and popped and popped until the barn exploded.
Whoa!
They were left with a huge pile of popcorn, oh, about 25, 35 feet high.
Holy moly.
Yep, but that wasn't the worst of it. Seems a wind came along, blew that popcorn 50 miles south to Black Ankle, where a herd of cattle saw it, thought it was a big snowstorm, and they froze.
We're two tall tale tellers from Texas. We're here to tell some tall tales to you. Just two birds of a feather, we've been traveling together, telling tasty tall tales that are totally true.
Brooke, let's go to Uncle Olaf's house.
Which one, the tall Uncle Olaf or the short Uncle Olaf?
The tall one.
You mean the one so tall he can take a sip of water from a rain cloud without using a straw?
Yeah, that's the one.
The one so tall he has to climb a ladder to shave himself?
Yeah, let's go to his house.
Well, we haven't seen him in 3 weeks.
I know, where is he?
Well, it seems he got really skinny. Got so skinny, never left a shadow. Got so skinny that it took 5 of us just to see him. So skinny that he got a part-time job at the clothesline. And one day, a breeze came along while he was carrying an umbrella, lifted him up in the sky, haven't seen him since.
Ooh. Hey, there he goes!
Hey, Uncle Olaf! How's Aunt Ludie, by the way?
Aunt Ludie? Why, she's okay, but you know she never gets out of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Why, this morning, for breakfast, she had 23 eggs over easy, 15 biscuits with gravy, 9 stacks of flapjacks, 4 leftover pork chops, 3 bowls of grits, 7 glasses of orange juice, 2 sides of bacon, and 3 gallons of coffee. You know what she said after that?
I bet I do.
Yep. What's for lunch?
We're two tall tale tellers from Texas. We're here to tell some tall tales to you. Just two birds of a feather, we are traveling together, telling tasty tall tales that are totally true.
Got another?
Nope.
Well, that's all the tall tales these two Texan tall tale tellers can tell to you today. Toodaloo.
Yeah, Bill Gord. Oh, love that song. Bill Gord. Very nice musician. And this is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Harry and I are... I don't know, we just don't have much going on today, so I was just telling him some things that have happened to me in the past.
Right, I've been telling you some things that have happened to me in the past.
Right. Kind of boring, if you ask me.
Well, you know, nothing else to do.
Did I ever tell you when I was in Florida fishing?
No.
Well, you know that Florida's the place for snakes, right? Rattlers, copperheads, moccasins, you name them, man, they got them. One day I was fishing near the Okefenokee when I noticed I'd forgotten to bring my bait.
Mm-hmm.
Looked around, and there behind a log was a great big venomous copperhead with a fat worm in his mouth. Well, I needed that worm. So just before the snake swallowed it, grabbed the bottle of whiskey, poured some down the snake's throat. That whiskey was strong, must have burned, because the snake dropped the worm, slid off in a hurry, man. I caught my fish all right. Big fella, too. But I was still short of bait. Then I heard a slithering sound. It was the snake. He was back with another worm in his mouth.
Sure, there are big snakes down in Florida, but have you ever gone further south to Mexico and seen the cockroaches? Big as a man's arm and smart, even the small ones. 2-foot cockroaches would eat you instead of trying to drag you off. They knew if they waited, bigger cockroach would come and take you away from them. And what organization, man. Soldiers sometimes come back to the barracks at night and hear shuffling in the dark. When the lights switched on, there are the cockroaches drilling and using the company's rifles.
Well, these are not mosquitoes. Up in Alaska, the mosquitoes are so big, they've made them the state bird. They leave tooth marks in your arm when they bite.
Mosquitoes. Let's talk about chickens for a second. I had a hen once who would hatch out anything you put under her. Golf balls, tennis balls, lemons, even grapefruit. Once I put a small box under her, she laid out the most beautiful square eggs. They would never roll and break.
I had a hen once. She was club-footed, so she didn't mind feeding on wood instead of chicken feed. In fact, she actually preferred sawdust to corn. She hatched out the most wonderful eggs you ever saw. 11 chicks raised themselves on stilts, and the 12th was a woodpecker.
I once lived in a house so tall that the top 5 stories had to be on hinges to let the moon go by.
That's tall, all right.
Yeah, but not quite as tall as some of these tales we're telling.
Yeah, but Joe Hayes has a true story he wants to tell us.
Some great bait. I can't think of a better way to spend a day than sitting on the bank of some favorite fishing hole, pulling the fish out of the water. Of course, I didn't get to do that very often when I was a boy, because my mom always had some work for me to do around the house. There was one time, though, when she said I could go and fish all day long. But she told me, you better take along something to eat. You're going to get hungry. So I went into the kitchen to find something I could take for lunch. I didn't want to bother with making a sandwich. I was looking for something I could grab quick. I hunted through the cupboards, and I found a brand new sack of pretzels. That'll do, I thought. I grabbed my fishing gear and the sack of pretzels, and I headed for the fishing hole. Well, my mom was right. I hadn't been fishing long enough to catch more than 2 or 3 fish when I began to feel hungry. So I opened up the sack of pretzels, and I started munching. Well, of course, the pretzels made me thirsty, and I began to wish I'd brought along something to drink, too. But I hadn't, so there was only one thing to do. Drink some water from the pond. It was good, clean spring water, so I knew it wouldn't do me any harm. But just as I was bending over to get a sip of water from the pond, a question popped into my mind. I thought, I wonder if fish like pretzels. So I broke a piece off one pretzel and flipped it out into the pond, and bloop, a fish came up and swallowed it. That's great, I said. They love pretzels. So I tore open the sack of pretzels and I ground them all up in my hands. I threw handful after handful of pretzel crumbs into the pond. The fish just made the water boil as they went after those pretzels. And, of course, the pretzels made them thirsty, too. So they did the same thing I did. They drank water from the pond. They ate pretzels, drank water, ate more pretzels and drank more water, and the pond was getting lower all the time. I sat back with a big grin on my face, and it may be hard for you to believe, but those fish kept going till they drank up every drop of water in that pond. I just walked around and picked fish up off the bottom of the dry hole where the pond had once been. So you can talk to me about your favorite fishing bait, worms or eggs or corn or whatever. But as far as I'm concerned, it's hard to find a better bait than pretzels. Unless maybe it's raisins. You see, on another very similar occasion, all I could find to take along for a quick lunch was a sack of raisins. I knew my mom would like the idea of me taking raisins. She always told me raisins were good for me. They put iron in your blood, she'd tell me. Well, once again, I thought I'd see a fish had any taste for my food. They liked raisins even better than pretzels. So I threw all the raisins into the pond. I said, oh, won't your mamas be proud of you for eating those raisins, getting all that iron in your blood. And then I got an idea. I reached around to my back pocket, and I took out a magnet. I held it under the water, and when I pulled it out, there was a fish stuck to it. Yeah, those fish had so much iron in their blood from eating my raisins, I spent the whole afternoon pulling them out of the pond with a magnet. And that was a little bit more interesting than just picking fish up off the dry ground. So I guess raisins are a little bit better bait than pretzels.
Joe Hayes. It's the Tall Tales from a Southwestern Storyteller. Yeah, he's from Southwest. Okay. As it says, Tall Tales from a Southwestern Storyteller. I wouldn't lie to you. Okay, it is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Are you ready to do our song together?
I sure am, Steve. It's the jug band that we used to play in.
Yeah, yeah. I got my guitar here. A little song that I wrote. A jug band had a lot of things that other jug bands do.
Like a banjo and a washed a bass, a fiddle and kazoo.
But we also had a lot of other instruments as well.
Like a ping pong ball and paddle and a telephone and bell. We also had a jello mold that made us sound like plop.
Of course we had a big old jug and red balloons that popped. We had a vacuum cleaner and a big old coffee creamer.
And a rotten piece of fruit that made us sound like we dropped.
Jug band, jug band, jug band play. Jug band, jug band, jug band sway. We had a vacuum cleaner and a big old coffee creamer. And a rotten piece of fruit that made us sound like we dropped.
We had a kind of boinger that sounded like a spring.
We also had a bike pump that the fiddler would bring. We had a screaming kid that all the time did. He screamed and keyed the band and they would stand around and sing. We'd sing jug band, jug band, jug band play. Jug band, jug band, jug band sway. We had a screaming kid, that's all the child did. He screamed and keyed the band and they would stand around and sing.
This jug band had a bottle that we'd drop upon the floor.
My grandpa, he would sit around in the sessions and he'd snore. We'd crumple up a bag and one of us would gag.
Darned if our audience did stand and scream for more.
They'd scream, jug band, jug band, jug band play. Jug band, jug band, jug band sway. We'd crumple up a bag and one of us would gag. And darn if our audience did stand and scream for more.
We'd bring some metal roofing and use it as a gong.
We hired manual typists to hammer out a song. We used a pencil sharpener and a master carpenter to bang our lovely lyrics even though they were all wrong.
Jug band, jug band, jug band play.
He'd bang.
Jug band, jug band, jug band sway. We'd use a pencil sharpener and a master carpenter to bang our lovely lyrics even though they were all wrong.
Just a silly, silly, silly song. It's a really silly, silly song. It's just a silly, silly song to sing when hours feel too long. A grizzly bear in underwear, it's always a funny sight. A flock of crows picking a nose, it's more than one can bear. It's just a silly, silly song. If words don't come, sing ding dong. It's just a silly, silly song. Sing when hours feel too long. Rhinos and shoes singing the blues. School of fishes cleaning the dishes. It's silly enough, I swear. Ducks decked out in satin, sprouting Greek and Latin. Groups of gloomy goos. It's just a silly, silly song. It's a silly, really silly, willy song. It's just a silly, silly song to sing when everything goes wrong.
a troop of ants strolling in pants.
Oh, it's hilarious enough.
An antelope cracking a joke would make you smile a while. It's just a silly, silly song to sing when hours feel too long. It's just a silly, silly song to sing when hours, to sing when hours, to sing when hours feel too long.
That was a really silly song.
Bob Livingston. It's called Open the Window, Bob Livingston. It's Knock on Wood and I'm Steve Charney. Let's stay with a silly theme for a while, huh?
Yeah, Steve, let's do something silly!
Okay. Reads Ogden Nash. He's pretty silly. A couple of little short poems here. One's two lines. A bit of talcum is always welcome. Would have thought of rhyming those two, huh? This is a poem called To a Small Boy Standing on My Shoes While I Am Wearing Them. Let's straighten this out, my little man, and reach an agreement if we can. I entered your door as an honored guest. My shoes are shined and my trousers are pressed. And I won't stretch out and read you the funnies, and I won't pretend that we're Easter bunnies. If you must get somebody down on the floor, what are your parents for? I do not like the things that you say, and I hate the games that you want to play. No matter how frightfully hard you try, we've little in common, you and I. The interest I take in my neighbor's nursery would have to grow to be even cursory. And I, with that performing sons and nephews, were carted away with the daily refuse, and I hold that frolicsome daughters and nieces are ample excuse for breaking leases. You may take a sock at your daddy's tummy or climb all over your doting mummy, but keep your attentions to me in check, or, sonny boy, I will wring your neck. A happier man today I'd be had someone wrung it instead of me. Let's do some shorter ones.
Okay, Steve, let me do the next one.
Okay.
I often pause and wonder at fate's peculiar ways, for nearly all our famous men were born on holidays.
These are no longer Ogden Nash poems. We've moved into the anonymous domain here. A centipede was happy quite until a frog in fun said, pray which leg comes after which. This raised her mind to such a pitch she lay distracted in a ditch, considering how to run.
If you your lips would say from slips five things observe with care, of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how and when and where.
The saddest words of tongue or pen, perhaps may be, it might have been. The sweetest words we know by heck are simply these. Enclosed, fine check.
Whene'er a hen lays eggs with each, she is impelled to make a speech. The selfsame urge stirs human bones whenever men lay cornerstones.
I never see my rector's eyes, he hides their light divine. For when he prays, he shuts his own, and when he preaches, mine. That's cute. Okay, some poems. That's actually from a Treasury of Laughter, Louis Untermeyer. This is from 1945. It's fun to go into old bookstores and look up the humor section. You always find some good things. I've found a lot of poems and stories and ideas from those wonderful bookshelves in old bookstores. I highly recommend it. It's a lot of fun. And let's wind down the show with Roger Miller. This is an old hit. Dang me.
Well, here I sit a high, getting ideas. Ain't nothing but a fool to live like this. Out all night, running wild. Woman sitting home with a month-old child. Dang me, dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me? Just sitting around drinking with the rest of the guys. Six rounds bought and I bought five. Spent the groceries and half the rent, like $14.27. So dang me, they ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me? One more. They say roses are red and violets are purple, and sugar's sweet and so's maple syrup. And I'm the seventh out of seven sons. My pappy was a pistol, I'm a son of a gun. I say, dang me, they ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Woman, would you weep for me?
At the Knock on Wood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show is written and produced by Steve Chorty. SteveChorty.com has lots of videos of Steve and myself, as well as jokes, an email address, sales page, info about our live stage shows, and lots more. And if you visit WGXE.org, click on Archives, and type in Knock on Wood, you can listen to previous Knock on Wood programs.